This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9-1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Now South Harmon is here, everything done changed. That Warped Tour made you open your brain. Eric Vanek is here, so remember the name. Hey. He got the waiver wire for the week. Tell you who to start and who to give a seat. Dropping the podcast every week. You know the knowledge is elite. After the show, we gon' hold a Lombardi. Celebrating like we throwing a party. This the blueprint and I know they gon' copy. South Harmon intros always. Cause this is America's game.
Hey everybody, welcome back to America's Game, episode number 43. I'm your host Eric Vanek, and you can find me on Twitter at EricVanekNFL. And as always, joined by Mike. Mike, what's going on, buddy?
What's up? Tuesday night. Man, it's storming like crazy around here, too. Some tornado warnings and stuff out. It's nice.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, it was like 900 degrees here today. It was like the surface of the sun kind of hot. Lovely.
I had that on Saturday. I had to turn on the air conditioning, man. Felt bad in May to do that.
Yeah, it's ours has been on the last couple days.
Fucking Midwest, man.
I would say air conditioning is probably my second favorite invention of all time. How about you?
That's got to be close, man. It's right up there. There's a few other. I keep it PG, though. There's some rated R ones up out there.
Yeah, I was going to say mine was yoga pants was number one.
There you go.
Then air conditioning.
It's pretty good.
Good combo, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, man, like... really good time for sports right now. Fucking basketball is in their finals now, or their semifinals. You got NHL, same thing. Their conference finals are set up. This weekend, you got three big races on Sunday with Monaco and an Indy 500. And NASCAR has their Coke 600. So I do that all day on that Sunday every year. So that's going to be nice. Yeah, a lot of good things going on in sports right now, man. And then, obviously, with Memorial Day is usually when redraft season kicks off for a lot of, like, the high-stakes players. Obviously, startup season's in full effect. I know you're in a couple. I'm going to be starting a couple startups here soon. So how are, like, the startup drafts and stuff going for you so far?
Well, anymore, it feels like snake drafts just, like, cakewalk. It's just easy. It's easy mode. ADPs and just kind of figuring out what people are going to do. It's pretty easy to do. So, but they're going well. Like every team that I come out of, I feel pretty good about. Like, don't feel like there's too many mistakes. Ready to get into some auctions, though, man. I need that auction in my life. That's a new challenge. That's always fun because those are wild. Let's get all over the place. But you're right about sports times. I've been enjoying the basketball playoffs. Not a big hockey fan, but basketball playoffs have been entertaining, especially with the Wolves being in the mix. Watching Anthony Edwards is fun. Real fun.
Yeah, I haven't paid attention to basketball for years, but it's definitely nice to see, like, four different teams that haven't been in it in a while, at least, you know? So that's, I mean, obviously Boston's kind of in it every year, but the other three, it's like they haven't really been, like, in the conference finals here in a long time. So that's exciting. You know, hockey's kind of the same thing this year, and it's, I mean, if you're into hockey, both of these series are gonna be big time series. Like, literally, the best two teams in the East, and the Rangers and the Panthers, are gonna play. They've been the two best teams in the East all year long, and then in the West, man, Dallas has been hot, and Edmonton obviously has the best player on the fucking planet. So, That's going to be interesting to see. Can he finally get them over the hump and into the finals? Because he hasn't been to the finals yet. He's been to the conference finals, but not to the actual Stanley Cup finals. So, yeah, really good time for that. And like you said, racing too. I know you'll be watching some of that on Sunday, I'm sure.
Saturday morning, man, watching Monaco.
Oh, that's Sunday morning.
Oh, it's Sunday morning. Okay, good. I don't have to wake up early. It's 8 a.m. I know that much. My time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, that's.
We good.
They do all three races on Sunday. So if like you're a big racing fan, you get the. It's literally an all day sit your ass in the chair and watch racing all day kind of day. You were at the 500 last year, right?
2 years ago. Two years ago. Went to the 500. Yep. Nice to see that one in person. And then, I don't know, this year I've probably watched the most F1 racing live that I think I ever had. So. Kind of a closet fan there for a while, you know, watching Drive to Survive on Netflix and just kind of casually following it. This year, jumped right in, watched every race, almost every one of them in their entirety, which is nice about F1 racing too, like versus NASCAR, just because of the time. Like it's about an hour and a half and the race is done, right? Yeah. start to finish.
Yeah.
You're done. Some of them NASCAR races take like 5 hours, man. That's a tough watch.
Yeah, the NASCAR race on Sunday will definitely be long because it's a 600-mile race, so it's 400 laps at a mile-and-a-half track. So, yeah, that's going to be go from 6 o'clock till probably, like, 11.
Yeah. So, this year, too, I started doing F1 Fantasy.
Oh, okay.
In F1 Fantasy League. Been doing okay. Second place.
Nice. I have NASCAR and IndyCar ones that I do too, so I've been doing all right. That's like on their web, you know, the main website, so it's not like playing for money or anything, but it's something to do, something fun to keep track of.
I know Monaco, when I play the F1 game on PS5, is I hate that fucking track with a passion too. So
yeah, because it's tiny. Yeah.
It is
like
yeah.
There's no room to move. So, but it's also there. You know, it's there. Their biggest race of the year, too, the most historic and meaning and all that they've been racing for years and years. How much I'd love to have a fucking yacht to go sit and watch, sit off the side and watch, but I don't have millions and millions of dollars.
Billions, man.
Billions. Yeah, billions, yeah. Billions. We're in the billions talk now, for sure. All right, so yeah, today I want to, you kind of mentioned it here a little bit ago. I want to talk about auction leagues, man, because, you know, me and you have been in a couple auction leagues last couple years. This year we're trying to get some people to get into it, and we're finding that a lot of people are intimidated, scared, whatever it is when it comes to auction leagues. They, like, join the league and say, oh, this is auction. Yeah, no thanks, I'll pass. And it kind of, like, it doesn't bother me, but it's just like, why are you not like going into this? So I figured today me and you can just, we'll just talk about auction leagues, what we like about them, how we get into them, you know, some of our strategies, why we like them better than snake drafts, all that kind of stuff. So I think we should get into that today for sure.
Auction's my favorite way to do it. It's the most fair. It's the most equitable for everybody. There's the most amount of strategy. There's a lot of stuff that goes into it. I will say there's a big difference, too, between the two. Just know when you join an auction league, they're not all created equally, for example. Yeah. Some of them only do certain amount of auctions, and then they go to, like, a snake draft format. You've had those leagues, league types. Some of these, too, right? There's a big difference between a slow proxy auction, which is, like, eBay-style bidding, versus doing a full sit-down, fast auction, right?
Yeah.
So I will say, at least as far as Sleeper's concerned, the only way you can do it right now is fast auction on Sleeper. But you and I have utilized MFL for their slow proxy auction and then just transport the rosters over to Sleeper for ease of use. So slow proxy auctions are good too. Like that's 1B. But 1A for me would be like sit down if we could get everybody together for a 3-hour block and do a fast auction, but it's not always
not always
possible.
Yeah, that's always the hardest part is being able to get 12 of your friends or whoever they are just to sit down for 3 hours and do an actual live auction. That is a lot of fun. I enjoy doing the live auction part for sure, if it's feasible. But to do the slow auction is just as fun. I think my favorite part about auction leagues is I get a chance at every single player in the player pool. So you can't do that in snake draft. If I'm picking 108, I don't have a shot in hell at Patrick Mahomes unless I trade up.
Yep.
So in auction league, Patrick Mahomes comes up on for auction there, I can bid on him, you know? So I like that. You know, there's times where, like, say, hey, there's no chance in hell without you trading the world to have the 101 and the 102 pick. So I can take Mahomes and Josh Allen. Well, in an auction league, if you want to bid, you know, pretty much three quarters of your budget on Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, you can do that. And you have Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes on your team now. So that's why I like auction. There are so many different ways you can go about it. You can plan any kind of strategy you want, and you have your shot at anybody in the player pool that you want. If you want, you know, say I don't have a Miami stack, I want to get Tua and Tyreek Hill, I can do that. I can, you know, get any kind of stack I want. You know, especially for portfolio players, I really like it, because this is how I kind of play it. We'll get into it. But when I go into auction leagues, yeah, like I have a strategy. I look at the warp, see what positions are the best to go after, all that. But I also look at it from the point of view of looking at my portfolio and my shares of players I have, and I look at it as, man, I don't have a lot of, you know, Tua. I don't have a lot of Dak Prescott. In this league, well, I can go after them. I can target Tua and Tyreek. I can target Dak and CeeDee Lamb to get a stack or something like that. So that's why another reason I really like it is I can target specific players that I really don't ever get a chance to get, or I don't have a lot of, etc.
I love the yin and the yang of auctions, right? You and I have done a few. You know, I did quite a bit for the patrons last year. I think we did 7 different auction like startups over the course of the year, and they were all slow proxy auctions. But I love it because even me, who like sits there and thinks about it, it's a challenge. It's a challenge to go into it. So, Eric, I'll be honest with you. Some of my greatest teams that I've ever built out of a startup have been because of auction, just because the budget fell, some of the bidding, and I got deals on players left and right. And I was like, oh, man, I believe I got this guy for like 2% of my budget. Nuts. You know, yeah. I remember one time I got Amari Cooper for $1 because like everybody else just fell asleep or something or didn't have the money to bid him up. And you're like, what? $1? What a steal.
Yeah.
But in the same sense, the yang part of it is, like, I've also royally fucked up teams. And, like, I've had the worst ever teams coming out of a startup because of auction, because I mismanaged my budget. I've done things like price enforce way too much, and then you get stuck with players, yeah. And you're like, oh, my God. You know, I've tried to, like, QB hoard in an auction, which is horrible. Doesn't go fucking well, right? Because everybody has the opportunity to bid you up. It's not like a startup where if I QB hoard, you may have 6 picks before you even get a chance to rebound or rebuttal. In an auction, it's immediate. Like, oh, you bid $1? I'll bid $1 more. And you get to keep going after it. And all of a sudden, the egos get into play. So the yin and the yang of the auctions is probably the favorite thing. Like, if you do it right and you're calculated and you kind of stay within your budget parameters, you can find hell of deals and you can build monster teams, monster dynasty teams coming out of an auction. You can do it in a startup. It's just a hell of a lot tougher. Like, you got to rely on everybody else being fish. Where I'm fully, like, if I get in with 11 other sharp people, Eric, you and I have seen this where we've been in them, and the heat of the moment stuff kind of happens, and at the end of the draft, you're like, oh, man, my team is terrible. Like, everybody else killed me. Like, how the hell did this guy's team get so stacked? It happens all the time. Doesn't necessarily happen in a snake draft startup, right? Almost everybody comes out and they're pretty equal, minus the few fish who inevitably fuck their teams up.
Right, yeah. Yeah, because, man, there's, like you said, there's just so many different ways. Like, some of the examples you were given, like, if you're doing a fast live auction, you can get some extremely, extremely good deals on players. Like you said, you can get Amari Cooper for $1, you know, Keenan Allen for $1. If people aren't paying attention, or they're like, eh, no, I don't really want this guy, and he's up there for $5, and even they're like, eh, I don't really want him, and then, like, people are all at the same time thinking the same thing, and they end up, you know, not bidding on him, and, oh, slipped through for $5. I got Amari Cooper for $5. That happens all the time in fast live auctions, so that's another great point. Like, you can, you know, save up your money as well, like, and let everybody bid on those higher end guys, And, you know, by the end, you know, you get halfway through the auction and you're the one with the biggest budget left. You're the one who controls the auction from that point. Anybody you want that comes up, you can bid on them and basically win them. Price enforce people too, you know, make them spend, you know, all of their money basically. And then you can just keep chipping away. And you might not have a team of super studs because they all went higher. Sure, you're going to get one or two here or there. But you're like, depth is going to be amazing when you do that. So that's another, you know, interesting aspect. Whereas, you know, basically, if you're looking at it as a snake draft, like it's like you have a bunch of like 7th to 10th round picks. You have like 15 picks in those 3 rounds. You can fill up teams easily like that too, and especially in best ball leagues like that. That's going to win you leagues. So there's all kinds of different ways to go about it. So I like that. So how do you go about finding an auction? Obviously there's, you know, our Discord channels, people are posting on them and stuff. Is there like, obviously we kind of talked about the sleeper and the MFL versions, but is there like certain ones that you look for with like certain settings that you want, or how do you go about finding an auction league?
Well, first off, finding them, the easiest way, and it sounds like a salesman, but be a member of our Patreon, be a part of the Discord. And a bunch of degens in there always looking and having that itch for startup. That's probably the best, like, to find any type of league, really. If you're trying to find anything, be a part of a community, whether it's ours or somebody else's, doesn't really matter, but be a part of a community. Don't just be on the outside, you know, randomly like putting on YouTube or whatever. Anybody like looking to add somebody, like, I get that question all the time, and I'm like, come join the Patreon. You know, for us, $1 get you access to the Patreon. You get the basic channels, you get the looking for leagues channel, the whole thing. So anything that goes down in there, you got an opportunity to join a league with people who are like-minded, who, you know, maybe want to try a different format, maybe want to go out there. But Eric, if I had to pick it, right, like my settings, fast auction would be the first one. But just hypothetically, say if we're doing anything, listen, I want it to be an auction. Don't really care if it's fast or slow. Proxy's perfectly fine by me just because of the time constraints and getting people together. I understand that. Got to be 12 team. Got to be super flex. You got to have some sort of tight end premium to boost that shitty position no one likes. And for me, it has to be best ball, but a lot of people really do prefer lineup. And I think that would change my strategy going in. Hypothetically, if I went into a lineup auction, to your point, I got to start these dudes every single week. So maybe I'm a little bit more apt to bid on the superstars, right? To get those guys where I can lock them into my lineup at each spot and then just kind of backfill with some depth that I feel okay about. And that would be my strategy in auction. In best ball, it opens it up where if you can get good deals on superstars and you can stack this massive amount of dynasty value on it, you can maneuver yourself. So that's one strategy in like best ball you could do. The other one, you've seen me do it a million times, is like, hold my money, man. Diamond hand the shit out of it, because it is best ball. And while everybody else blows their money on Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb and Josh Allen, I'm going to come back with 6 quarterbacks that cost less than the one guy who was the most bid up on. I'm going to have 9 receivers. I'm going to have 8 running backs. I'm going to have a bunch of tight ends, and I'm going to go, good luck beating this depth, right? Bad stuff happens to my team, I don't really care. Shrug it off, next man up, that kind of thing. So I love the best ball strategy with an auction, because you get to do a bunch of different things, right? And you're not really pigeonholed into it. Sometimes where there's startup drafts, like because of your draft position and what round you're in, you almost feel like you're obliged to take certain players that maybe you're not even really that in on, or certain positions. You're like, I'm trying to fill out a roster, I got to draft this guy. Auction best ball for me just opens it up to, you know, it's unadulterated clay. You get to mold it into whatever you want, right? Maybe like you said with portfolio, I want to try this zero RB thing. Like I'm not drafting any running backs. I'm just going to bid the shit out of wide receivers and quarterbacks, and this is how I'm going to leave it. Or maybe, yay, the warp is decent enough, I'm going to be really running back heavy. I'm going to really load up on all these running backs. And I think because they're running backs, I'm going to get values up and down the board all over the place. Or maybe like you said too, I really like the fact where, listen, I can get any single player I want and I don't have to trade up for them. I don't have to send future draft capital, picks in the startup, nothing. just a simple matter of how much do I want to spend out of my wallet. So if I had to pick, you know, just basic settings, 12 team super flex, slow proxy auction probably makes the most sense. Give me a tight end premium. And I want like $1,000 budget with deep rosters. And in the past, like all the ones I did, like I didn't even know you could set it on MFL, but I would take the roster limit off, right? Where you don't have to fill out all 35 spots if you don't want to. You want to blow all your money on 10 dudes and just leave the auction? Go for it. Go for it. You can peace out. So I think that would also be something that I would change. Big budget, $1,000, you know, keep it a nice whole number, round number, so it's easy to do math in your head what 10% of your budget is, what 1% of your budget is, and then take the roster requirements off. You want to blow your money on two players and then just fill the rest out with waivers, by all means, go ahead. Bid 500 on each dude and just walk out the door. You're fine.
Yeah. Yeah, no, those are all great points. I echo a lot of what you said of what you like about auctions. I like the same thing, so I'm with you on a lot of that. Let's talk about MFL auctions. So that's going to be your, right now, your only real option for slower auctions. So let's talk about, like, what are the advantages of the slower auctions and all that on MFL. So I know a lot of people hate MFL. I get it. Like, it's definitely outdated. Like, Sleeper has definitely gotten better. I used to hate Sleeper so much, but since you introduced me to BlueStacks, I like it a little bit better now.
Now it's okay, right?
Yeah, it's okay now. But with, you know, doing it on MFL, yeah, it could be a little intimidating at first if you've never played on MFL, but once, like I made videos and stuff on how to do auctions and show people how to do it. And once I do that and post the link to it, people are like, okay, I gotta understand it now. So once they get that feel, that's usually pretty good. But even if you're not, like, it's still fairly simple to understand. Like, I can type it out to somebody and explain it to them how to use it. So with that, though, like, what I like about MFL auctions is, obviously, there's different settings for what you can do, but let's say each team gets to nominate two players a day, or three players, four players a day, whatever it is. There's no, unless you have like certain rules that you set up beforehand, you can nominate any position at any time. You can have, you know, if each team can nominate three people in a 12-team league, you're having 36 players up at once. So I like that, 'cause that, you know, you can't do that in a slow auction. Slow auction, it's just boom, Evan Ingram, he's up. What do you want to bid on Evan Ingram? With 36 players up at once, I can, you know, see who's available that people nominated. And if I have any interest in these guys, I can bid on them. And there's multiple players I can bid on at one time. So I like that a lot, too. That's probably one of my favorite things of auction, because there's a lot of strategy on it, too. Like, if we get to the end of a quarterback tier, this is the last quarterback of that tier, or you know, the last, like, good starting quarterback, you know, you can throw him up and he might end up going for a shit ton more than he normally would just because he is the last one. So I think that brings in a lot of strategy into it too. What about some of the things that you like about the MFL slow auctions?
So this is a lot of things where I really stress that Sleeper brings some of this over and really puts it into play. MFL, like you said, though, it is, like, intimidating to go to it because the UI is so old and outdated, and it's just, it's unappealing to look at. But once you get past it, you just look at it for what it is, right? Like, it is a system that works, and it's a system that works for the first thing that makes it where you can do it on MFL, a slow auction versus Sleeper, is Sleeper doesn't have multi-nomination, which is massive. So you can do the slow auction thing on Sleeper, but it's going to take you 3 months to get the auction done with deep rosters, unless maybe you're only doing like 10 players or something like that. But the multi-nomination thing's huge. And the one thing I really love about the multi-nomination is you can set the clock for whatever you want, right? 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, you know, whatever the reset is. But the multi-nomination, like you said, you could have, you know, 36 players up at a time. You get a 48 players up at a time. 36 always kind of feels like the good number. And it's so nice when you see all these different nominations by all these teams and you got 36 players up. So you might have like 6 quarterbacks, you know, you got like 10 wide receivers going, whatever. You get to find like values within individual nominations. Like, you can just sort by quarterbacks and you can just look at the quarterback position. You're like, oh man, well, Josh Allen's going for $300 and some, but listen, I don't think Joe Burrow's too far off. He's only at $150. Like, automatically, the strategy goes in your head, I'm bidding on Burrow. Like, fuck Josh Allen. Like, I'm going to go try to get the Burrow deal. This is stupid. And then the extra layer of strategy, not only getting your guys and being good with your budget, but when to reset bids and how to do them. And just the little conversations you have with yourself or maybe amongst your league mates, like, hey, man, I see Mike really needs a quarterback here. He's got two bids on these guys. We got an hour left on the reset timer. What's he going to do with all this money once I reset it and take the high bid? Is he going to go knock off Steve over here? And now Steve is going to go knock off this guy. And now we have absolute fucking chaos in the quarterback market because Mike got knocked off his one $300 bid and all of a sudden had $300 more to play with. And then he went and fucked somebody else. That kind of stuff is really fun. And with the slow timer, it's a go at your own pace, right? Like, not everybody, even in snake drafts, you know, you got a 4 hour clock or an 8 hour clock. Sometimes life comes up and like it's in between it. With that like slow pace with the proxy auction too, sometimes there are times where like the timer runs out and you are asleep or whatever. But for the most part, it's like, man, I wake up in the morning, I just pull this up. All right, put in a bid, we're good. And then I come back and I might check it like 5 or 6 hours later, just one time. Bid. And all of a sudden, like, you get into this habit or routine where it's just, hey, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I might check the auction progress, but I'm not like up against a clock ever. You don't ever feel rushed. You get to do it at your own pace. There ain't 11 other people bitching at you like, hey, make your pick. Make your pick. You only got an hour left, God damn it. I seen you've been on 6 times. Slow auction's like kind of nice because especially if there's like a round where you just like, I'm good. Like I got shit going on. I'm just going to sit out this 12-hour period of bidding and I'll come back and I'll check it tomorrow. And you don't feel like you lost out on a whole lot, right? All of a sudden there's a whole new crop of players up there and you go, okay, all right, I got money now. Boom. And you start bidding on players. So I think that's probably the beauty of a slow auction just because of the features like multi-nomination, the ability to have long clocks, to have them reset. So for people who don't know, the proxy really just means like eBay style bidding. Yeah. It's blind bidding until you're the high person, right? So for example, if I nominated Patrick Mahomes, I could nominate him for $200, right? Now it's going to show me at $1 on Patrick Mahomes. Now Eric goes in and he bids on Patrick Mahomes. He may bid $50, for example. Now it's going to show me still as the high bid, but I'm at $50, right? Yeah. Eric doesn't know that I bid $200 on him. So Eric's got to keep going in and pushing the button and keep upping the bid until he hits $200. And once he gets to $201, now it's going to show Eric as the high bid. Eric's the high bid at $200. The timer resets.
Yeah. So that's another big thing, too, is you can reset the timers there on people with 5 minutes to go, and then they yell at you in the chat and motherfuck you up and down.
One of my favorite things to do with that format, too, Eric, is just, it's kind of like, I call it like touching the electric fence. Seeing how close you can get to it before it shocks you.
Yeah.
You know, in that Patrick Mahomes scenario, say you were the guy with the $200 bid. And I'm like, I got a feeling it's maybe $200. Like, and there's strategy that goes into it, too. You may actually set the proxy at 202 just to throw me off. Right? Because I'm going to keep searching. Like, I think it's probably 200, so it's going to take 201. But you keep driving it up like, okay, 198. Fuck. All right, 199. Fuck. 200. Fuck, I still didn't get it. What the fuck did he set this at 201? Yeah. And then eventually, like, you get that, it's like blackjack. Hit me again. And then you find the one where you didn't really want it. Like, I didn't really want to bid $203 on Patrick Mahomes, but fuck, I found it. I found Eric's proxy.
And that's another thing, too, I like doing is I always change up my numbers. So I never go at 100, 200.
50, never use the even 55. Numbers. Fuck it. Yep.
Yeah. I always go like 77, 83, 88.
Fuck with them. Yep.
Yeah. I always do that. So that's another thing you could always do. But yeah, I love that about about these auctions, man. Like the proxy bidding is nice, where you can, you know, basically how Mike explained it, just like eBay bidding, you know, until you get outbidded at your highest amount that you put in, you'll be winning that guy. Once you get outbidded, the timer resets. So if you're doing 12-hour clock, 16, 24-hour, whatever it is, you have to be consistently winning that player for however long. So when you do proxy bidding too, like so how Mike was talking about it going up by a dollar, so that doesn't change the timer every time he bids too until he outbids. So once there's a new high bidder on the player, that's when the timer resets. So if you go up by a dollar each time and you're not the winner, the clock will still stay the same. So if it's 5 minutes left, you know, it's not going to reset just because you bid a dollar, even though you didn't become the high bidder. So that's another one. There's also a option on MFL to do it where whatever bid you put in, that's your highest bid. So if I want $130 on somebody, $130 is my max. As soon as somebody bids again, that's what it is. So like you won't start at $1. You'll be at $130, whatever your high bid was. So that's non-proxy, basically, is what it's called. So you can do, you know, multiple different auctions like that. If you want to do the proxy bidding like eBay, or you want to just do the straight up here, this is, I'm putting my $300 down on Josh Allen and somebody come outbid me. You outbid me, you're the new bidder. So you know what everyone is bidding on, what their highest price is at that time.
One of the other things I really love about it, we haven't touched on yet either too, is the ability to trade auction dollars. Like that is a huge thing. In the auction, like the strategy that goes behind it, whether it's trading future picks for somebody's auction budget, you know, like, oh, you know, give me an extra $100, man. Give me an extra 10% of your budget or whatever it is. I'll give you my first next year. Like that kind of strategy where it goes into it because you feel like, man, I'm a contender. It's a best ball league or whatever. I'm like, if I can get three more wide receivers for like $33 a piece, somewhere around there, this first is going to be more than worth it. And for somebody else, like just okay, I'm rebuilding. Like, I don't really give a fuck about these players left. I definitely don't want any of these vets. I don't want the headache of having to trade them away later. Listen, if I could just trade away my remaining auction budget and just start snatching up people's future draft capital, I skip the line of bullshit that I got to deal with for the next 4 months while I'm trying to sell some crusty vet somebody to help them win. I get to do in the auction. Like, that kind of strategy goes into it. The nice thing about MFL, too, is, like, you get to do it real time, so the players pop on your roster as soon as you win them. And sometimes people make mistakes that they don't like them, or they're like, you know, I fucking really wanted to. I thought about bidding him up. I didn't know he was going to go that cheap. That's my guy. I want him. They may trade you like $5 more than what you paid for the guy just to put him on their team. And now you get to reset your auction budget essentially and get that money back. So a lot of layers of strategy with how we normally do MFL, but MFL does allow you to customize like all that shit, like everything.
Yeah.
Which, which I was going to say with the customization is really cool. We don't need to do it now because we're, you know, post NFL draft and you can just use real players. But pre NFL draft, like an MFL auction, you can actually put the fucking pick numbers in as like players to be nominated and bid on, right? You can put the 110 in there and then you can bid on like how much you'd pay for the 110, which is also crazy to see when you do that shit that way too. Because sometimes you're like, oh, man, did you see how high the 101 went for? And then, like, the 102 or something goes for, like, half. And then maybe the 103, because people are like, I really got to get it on the draft capital, end up going higher than the fucking 101 ever did. And you're like, well, that is the crazy thing, like, how that kind of works out sometimes using that feature.
Especially, like, this year, you know, let's say, obviously, there's 101 Caleb, 102 Marvin, 103 Jaden Daniels, and, you know, it's kind of a teardrop there. Like, maybe that 103, somebody really wants it because they want one of those three. So that's another thing to do. And that was great. That was my next thing to talk about was customization like that. You can put the actual rookie draft picks in there, and you can bid on them. You know, it'll say rookie draft pick 101, but you have to do, you have to go to like creative players and actually create it and stuff. You can also do this with Devy players.
Yes.
So you can put in Shadir Sanders. I can put in Carson Beck, you know, whoever it is. You can put some Devy players in there too, and then they can get nominated as well, and you can bid on those. So any way you want to customize your league to do that, you can do it. And then, you know, how we mostly do it now is we'll take all these off of MFL, and then we'll just convert it over to our free sleeper league right afterwards. Yeah, it takes a little bit of time, but, you know, as a commish, you know, that's what you got to do, especially with how popular sleeper is. It's so much easier to get people to join sleeper leagues nowadays than it is MFL. But to actually start it on MFL and do it with all the customization that you can do is really, really nice. And then you just got to convert it over to sleeper, take a couple hours to do that.
Yeah. And just it's actually not too bad, Eric. I saw you do this a couple times last year, and I was going to tell you, one of the things I figured out how to do it is I make the auction like on sleeper too, and I just make the draft room, you know, with everybody in there. And then like as players go off the board on MFL with their prices, I can just go into the auction, right click on the slot or whatever underneath the player, and then you can actually put the price in. Like what it costs too. So you, once it's all done, like you got a full auction board where you can go back and you can look, you know, in 2 or 3 years, like, hey, what the fuck did I get this guy for at auction? Right. And the stuff transfers over. Yeah. So you kind of get that league history going too. So kind of a nice thing, but I use the sleeper auction board simultaneously while the draft's going on. I just pull up two tabs and I look at, you know, what's the last one's bid, who won it and for how much, and go right into sleeper and just add them right to the auction board right there. For whatever price they went for.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else on MFL auctions you want to touch on? I'm trying to think if there's anything else I want to touch on with it.
No, I think we kind of got it all figured out. I mean, you and I had a bunch of discussions last year when I was doing them and setting them up because of your experience with MFL. There was a few settings that I didn't have, especially when I was doing ones pre-NFL draft and the players weren't actually in the – I mean, they were in the pool – but they were listed as, you know, free agents or whatever. Yeah. So you had to make sure we had the correct setting on so you could have those rookies available to be bid on.
Yeah.
The MFL does, and I will say this, MFL allows the most amount of customization. And I'm not asking for fucking sleeper to be MFL, but take your dope ass UI. First off, fix your website so it actually works. Like, fix the web page version. Add college fantasy, for fuck's sake. But also take some of the good features that we got from MFL, like the slow proxy, the multi-nomination, and bring that shit over. Like, and if you do, there literally will be no reason for me to play on any other fantasy platform. Like, I don't need to play on Fantrax then, because I got college fantasy over here. I don't need to go make an MFL league ever again, because I have slow proxy auction available on here. It feels like they're just lacking that little push, and listen, I'm like a fucking broken record. Just like, listen, all right, fucking hire me for like a week. I'll get you guys all straightened out, give you the directions, and we'll get this all taken care of. And sleeper could corner the market because the UI is so good. It's so intuitive. It's nice to look at. It's clean. It's very easy to use. I mean, it's super mobile friendly in the this day and age, which is really important. You know, while I'm at work taking a shit, you know, I want to be bidding on players. You know, I want to be put my bids in, or I want to make ad drops. And but the MFL thing, I will say this: they definitely did it right with the slow proxy. So whoever the fuck designed that, hats off to them for putting all those customization options in it, because it made doing auctions so damn easy.
Yeah. One other small negative against MFL is when you are doing an auction, you probably, the easiest way that I found to do it is on your phone, especially if you're at work or whatever, doing the auction on your phone's web browser. So Safari for iPhones or whatever. So just logging into MFL that way and going to the league, and so much easier to bid that way. Because if you do any of the MFL apps, there's a couple out there, the MFL apps are garbage for any auction stuff. So you got to kind of use your web browser, which isn't bad, you know. It's not hard, but it's the same thing as like if you're doing it on your computer, basically. But that's one small negative towards it. But I really enjoy it, especially now we can convert it over to sleeper afterwards, and we don't have to pay MFL $90 or whatever the fuck they're charging now. So that I like that aspect of it.
One of the things I do, Eric, too, for the web browser thing, because you brought that up, I don't use the app for it.
Yeah,
I do. I'll pull up my Chrome because I'm an Android guy or whatever. I'll pull up Chrome. I'll log into MFL. I'll go to the league, and then I'll go to the actual bid page, and I'll just make the bid page a bookmark.
Yeah.
And then when I pull up Chrome or whatever, I just click the bookmark, and I'm already at the bid page. And okay, who am I bidding on? Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, same here. That's what I do on mine as well. Okay, let's go over to Sleeper now. Sleeper is basically fast auctions, live auctions, whatever you want to call it. You can, 30-second timers or whatever it is, which is really nice. What do you like best about the Sleeper live auctions?
I really wish it was proxy, but when you do live auctions, it is kind of fun. It is because you got everybody together and you're getting everything done within a matter of a couple hours. I wish you could do multi-nominations even in fast auctions. Like you could have two people up at the same time and you just change the timers or whatever, make them a little less. There's probably a way to customize it a little bit better if they had add multi-nomination. But the way it is right now, it's perfectly fine for doing single-player noms, fast auction. Does take probably about 2.5-3 hours, maybe a little bit more, depending on how many roster spots you're drafting, the whole thing. They did just add the feature to customize individual budgets, which is kind of interesting. I don't know how pertinent it'd be in fast auction to do like inline auction, because the action's always going, right? Like you got 30-second auction timer, and I doubt there's a lot of auction budget trading going on with all that shit going on. It's a little bit tougher, but they did add that part. I like the fast auction too, and it's kind of a nice change a little bit from the proxy for the aspect of you don't have the proxy like you were talking about, Eric, where what you bid initially is what that player is at, right? So if I nominate somebody for $25, that's where it's at. You bid 26, you got them, right? You know what the bids are, and you get to know. There's no like feeling out like how high the cap is or anything. Like I want them, I know exactly what the price is. I know what I got to pay. There is a downside to that though, with that strategy in a fast auction, because sometimes I'm like, I want to make sure that I set the bid high enough where we're not like fucking around for the next 10 minutes bidding on this guy.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
And there's sometimes I put that fucking initial bid out there and nobody touches it. Nobody even sniffs it. They're like, yeah, we good. Yeah. And I'm like, how much cheaper could I got that fucking guy for? Like, if I would have started at $1 like a normal person, where could I actually have got him at? But it happens. It happens. But it is a layer of strategy. So it is a way to like peacock it if you don't want anybody fucking with your bids.
Yeah, I like that. And I like, Patrick Mahomes starts at $1, then it goes to $2, to $3. No, we're going to fucking 40 or 50 where he's supposed to go, or at least like $10 off of where he should go so we can get this shit sped up a little bit. So I like doing that for sure. I do enjoy fast auction as well. Like you said, it's just hard to get 12 people together to do it. You got to make quick decisions. Like you can't be putzing around like, oh, do I want this guy or not? Should I bid this extra dollar or not? No, like you got to make your decision like right now. So one thing that I've always like kind of run into my auctions is like, if I look back on it and like I see the guys that I ended up getting, and then I look at some of the guys that like I refuse to like go an extra dollar or two on, I always kick myself for not going that extra dollar or two. So that's one of the things like I've kind of learned doing fast auctions. Like if you really want this guy, just spend that extra dollar or two. You're going to be more happier in the end than you normally would be. Cause that's how I usually do it. How about you?
Yeah. There's always a few mistakes. The last one we did together, Barry's Triple Crown, shout out DB for that one. The first leg of it. We got another one coming up in June, about a month away now. Interesting enough. We got another one coming up in June. I left that one feeling fucking elated because it was pre-NFL draft, a lot of conjecture, conviction about my bids, Jaden Daniels, JJ McCarthy, that kind of stuff, some other rookies that I bid on. I left that one feeling amazing, with very few, like, oh, I wish I would have done this different, done that different. But to your point, Eric, there's going to be one at some point, hopefully not in Barry's Triple Crown. I want to win this fucking thing. But there's going to be a point where I've had this multiple times for you. I'm like, oh, man, I should have just bid like fucking $5 more on this guy. I much rather would have had him for this price than the fucking shitter I ended up with. Like,
exactly.
Like, I bid on him because I like him, but Jesus, the price difference was insane. Like, and because it's one person at a time, you don't know that. You don't know that. That's kind of the craziest thing when I was talking about draft picks, like doing it on MFL. But usually when you do MFL and those multi-nominations, you kind of got like a defined player pool. Like, it's all usually about, there's always the asshole who like nominates like Jacoby Brissett in the first wave just to be right. A dick. But it's usually a defined pool, right? Yeah. You got like, there are probably like three elite quarterbacks and three elite running backs and the elite wide receivers. And it's kind of that thing. When you do one player at a time, though, that shit comes from like left field sometimes. So,
yeah.
Somebody may nominate Josh Allen right off the bat because that's the first thing in their mind. And Josh Allen goes for, you know, let's just say it's $300. Goes for 30% of the budget. And you're like, ah, yeah, that's too much for me. Like, you know, but that's probably the price Josh Allen should go. Patrick Mahomes may not go for another fucking hour, right? Yeah. Like, there may be a ton of other players that come up. And all of a sudden people go, man, Patrick Mahomes is the only other like superstar quarterback or superstar player left here. And then the bidding goes like, you win Patrick Mahomes, but you won him for like $375. And you're like, fuck, why didn't I just bid on Josh Allen? Yeah. Why didn't I bid like $301 for fuck's sake? I'll take Josh Allen for $301 versus $375 I paid for Patrick Mahomes. That shit happens all the time in a fast auction.
Yeah, and then you'll get also too, like say Josh Allen and Mahomes are the first two to go. So let's say they both go for $300, and then you get to the end of that tier, or it's a player that's super popular like CJ Stroud, and he'll end up going for like $295, but you could have got Burrow for $275. You could have got Lamar for $275. Like, it's in the same tier, but you're paying $20 extra for Stroud than you would Burrow or Lamar. So that's another thing to do. At least what I do is I'll take a copy of my rankings as I'm doing the draft and put it on a separate monitor or a separate spreadsheet or whatever, and I'll put the prices that these players are going for live as I'm going. So that's a big key, especially in a live auction, so I can keep track of how much each player is going for in the same tier, so I don't like overbid by a shit ton on like, you know, CJ Stroud to Patrick Mahomes. You know, I'm not bidding $310 on CJ Stroud when Mahomes went for $300. So that's another thing to keep an eye on when you're doing a live auction on Sleeper, is make sure you kind of have a list somewhere where you can keep track of how much these players are going for. I always find that to be very key. Another one I wanted to bring up, you were kind of, you know, mentioning like, nominations are completely random. How do you like to nominate usually?
It depends on my mood. Okay. It depends on how diabolical I am. You saw in Barry's Triple Crown, like I kind of went in with the strategy in the first one, knowing that quarterbacks held pretty good warp, and that was kind of how I wanted to build my team. I wanted to stay flexible, though. I didn't want to go out and just start nominating all the superstar quarterbacks, like right off the rip. And just like fall in line with what everybody else was doing. I started nominating those guys where I'm like, listen, man, if I could get this dude for like $2-3 at the beginning of the auction, and I can build a quarterback room in this best ball format with a bunch of guys I think may have jobs at some point during the year, like I got a nice base. And if I can really just secure like my QB3 or QB2, I'll worry about what I get for QB1 later on in the draft, right? So that was my strategy going in. So I started nominating, you know, Sam Howells and the Drew Locks and the Justin Fields of the world, you know, like these guys who may be in quarterback battles, the Aiden O'Connells, like those kind of guys. And I wanted to like really lock up a bunch of these guys that weren't complete write-offs, right? Like definitely locked into a backup role, essentially. And then I was going to come back and see if I can maybe later on, maybe we can get that QB1 at a value. Now, it doesn't have to be one of the elite guys, but we'll kind of see how it goes. Crazy that it worked that way. It worked out fine. We were just talking about values and like bidding, you know, like for example, Jared Goff went for $34 in that league, right. And I got Jaden Daniels for $30, like $4 cheaper. $4 cheaper. So
and this is a $200 or $300 budget.
$300 budget. Okay. Yep. You know, like JJ McCarthy was like $25, right?
Yeah. And this is pre-NFL draft too.
Yep. So there's a little conviction baked into it, but when you get back to the end of it, you go, "Oh my God, like, yeah. this wasn't too bad." But that was kind of my strategy. Sometimes I just fall in line too. Sometimes I go with the strategy of just bidding up like the superstars or like putting them out there right away, just knock them off. Especially if it's a position I'm not interested in, right? Like I have this tight ends don't fucking matter thing, so I'll nominate all the good tight ends. Like, here you go. You fuckers spend all your money on tight ends. I don't give a shit. I don't want them.
Yeah.
But I'll take them if you let me have them for the $1 nomination I put up. Or right. maybe I started them at $10 or whatever it was, right. you know, just to get the bidding going. But, like, I like to do that strategy a little bit. Yep. And then sometimes, you know, sneaking in your guys, like your guys that you really want in the early part of the draft when everybody's thinking superstars, I like doing that strategy too. I really do like, you know, hey, man, I know people hate Antonio Gibson, but fuck, I want some Antonio Gibson. So let me, it's my first nomination. I'm putting up Antonio Gibson.
Right. Yeah. So I have kind of three different ways I like to go about it. So usually early on, it's guys I have no fucking interest in. So like you said, if tight ends don't matter, I'm putting up the Sam Laportas, the Kelce's, the Andrews. If it's, you know, wide receivers don't matter really, or, you know, they're deflated, or running backs, I'll put up those top guys and let those guys go for it. Or if it's just like players I just really have no interest in at all, like a fucking James Cook, because I hate him. You know, I'll put up those guys early, let them spend their money. So I want to get as much money off the board as possible early on while I'm not spending it, because it's a guy I'm not interested in. So that's one of my main strategies. Another strategy I have will be later on in the draft. So let's say me and you kind of do the same thing. Like if we have our two or three quarterbacks already, we have them locked in. I got C.J. Stroud, I got Jared Goff, I got Bryce Young. Those are my three quarterbacks. Well, from then on, every round, I'm fucking nominating another quarterback because I just want all these guys to go off the board because I'm set at the position and I know the rest of the league isn't. Here you guys go. Here's all the quarterbacks you guys bid on. Spend all your money while it leaves money for, you know, the running backs, the receivers, the tight ends aren't getting nominated because all the quarterbacks are going at once and then everyone's in a frenzy to go get them. I'm saving money because I'm not bidding on them and I'm getting some better deals on the running backs, receivers, and tight ends. So that's another thing I like to do. I like
that one a lot too. Like that's a good strategy. You and I talked off air before we started about in a snake draft, how one of the things I love about quarterback hoarding, you know, if I take five or six within my first seven picks, is how everybody then has to chase. And all of a sudden, like in the eighth, ninth, tenth round, I'm like, how the fuck is this guy still here? And then you go ahead and take him. Same kind of principle, minus the fact that you don't have six quarterbacks on your team, right? You get set, or you get set at a position where you go, like, I'm good. Like, if there's a deal, obviously I'll be in on it just because it's too good to say no to. But in general, I want to make other people spend their fucking money. You do the same thing in, like, a quarterback hoard startup where you're like, I want to make other people buy quarterbacks and then let some good players fall back to me. Yeah. I love that strategy. That's a good one, too. Something also that I use as well. I like that, Eric.
Yeah, and then you can target, like, the popular players early on, too. So let's say you don't really have interest in Marvin Harrison Jr., but you know Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to go for a fuck ton of money. So you can nominate him early, and maybe he goes for an outrageous amount. And then later on, you know, Tyreek Hill comes up. Well, Tyreek Hill probably going to put up better numbers than Marvin Harrison Jr., but you can get, you know, maybe a $50 discount on Tyreek Hill than you could Marvin Harrison Jr. So I like doing that early too. I do like it where the top quarterback, the top running back, the top receiver, top tight end go early so I can see where the prices are going to be set. So I know, hey, Sam Laporta went for $70 of this $300 budget. I'm never bidding above $70 on another tight end. And I can kind of adjust in my head of like, okay, so if Laporta went for 70, I'm willing to pay $50 for Kyle Pitts. So I can go to 50. If somebody goes over 50, nope, I'll pass. Let somebody else have him for that, and I can, you know, adjust from there. And then especially now we have the warp tool and stuff too. It's really easy to kind of see, hey, like the one we just did with Barry's that you were talking about, running backs warp was pretty high in that league. So I got Bijan Robinson. I got Breece Hall. I may have had Najee Harris or Josh Jacobs, one of those two in there too. So I can bid on players basically that I would probably have a really hard time getting in a regular startup auction. You know, I'm not going to get Bijan and Breece Hall most likely in a regular snake draft. So I can bid on those two guys, and I have the two warp kings for running back in a running back, high running back warp league. So I like doing that. There's just so many different ways to go about it, man. I do love auction, and I just wish more people would do it. That's kind of why we did this episode, to kind of talk about why we like it, some of the reasons why, some of our strategies, to kind of get more people more interested in doing auction leagues. So I know in our Discord channel, under the leagues page, people are always posting their new startups. There's been some auction leagues. Coupa has an auction league that's going up right now. As well, that's going to be slow auction on MFL that transfers over to Sleeper. We're still looking for some people for that kind of a league. So we got, you know, all kinds of leagues that we're trying to do, but especially auction, man, like you said, just so many different ways to go about it, so many different strategies, and I really enjoy it. So
I tell you what, too, a lot of it, I think people are just scared to get in the first one. Like,
oh yeah,
it's intimidating. It's intimidating. I understand it. I kind of attributed a snake draft the other day to like somebody's blankie, like their comfrey blankie, like makes them feel good. You know, it's what I know. Listen, there's better blankies than the one you had when you were 2-3 years old. Trust me. Like, there's some real good ones.
I'm sure me and you were the same on this. Like, our first auction league, we're like, I'm timid about it. Yep. But once you fucking do it the first time, like,
it's you're a crack, like, addiction.
Fuck, yeah, I'm in. Like, yeah, it's like, oh, I'm such a pussy. I don't want to ride this roller coaster or whatever. Yep. You're like that. But then once you go and ride it, you're like, fuck yeah, I'm ready to do every roller coaster in this whole park now.
100%. I think it's almost gotten to the point where I think snake drafts are boring as fuck to me. Like, they really are. I really want to get into a league where we also auction off the rookies. So whatever system that we can find out that would be the most equitable, you know, like last place gets a certain amount of auction dollars, you know, second,
yeah. Second to last
gets a certain amount of auction dollars, that kind of thing.
What I've seen in my leagues is like, so in the bylaws, you'll make the 101, that's worth $300 rookie dollars. The 102 would be worth 280 or something like that. And you just do a tiered system based off of that. And then obviously if you own the 101 and the 102, you have $580 in rookie money to play with. You're going to probably crush everybody. And that brings more strategy with trading too. So like, say, you know, I only have my 312 and 412 because I won the league. I traded my 112 and 212. I can now trade that 312 and 412 money during the off season to get, you know, maybe I can buy a veteran I like an Antonio Gibson type. I can just buy him for rookie money. That owner wants the rookie money so they can have more money in the auction, and I get a nice player for it. So it makes more trading in the off season. But go ahead.
No, I really want to get into one like that. And I was just going to say, for the people out there who listen to it, Eric, I think what you and I should do is we should have an America's Game Listener League. You and I will be in it, run it, whatever, co-commission. But anybody who wants to get in, like your first one, like, we'll help you. Trust me. Absolutely. I won't take super advantage of you. But trust me, once you get in there, you'd be like, I just love the freedom of this. Like, I get to do whatever the fuck I want, right? I think some of the issue, too, is there's not a lot of auction strategy out there. And Adam and I have tried to do this in the past, but it's real tough. Like, it is so tough to do without actually being in it. It's kind of like Congress's definition of porn. Like, you know it when you see it, okay? That's the kind of thing. Like, it's tough to give auction strategy. There's some tools out there. We were in talks, like, to develop an auction assistant tool to kind of help you with the budget. Still kind of working on it. It's kind of a project for down the road. This big, like, maybe AI amalgamation with Warp and, you know, doing algorithms and telling you like what to bid on and how much each player theoretically should be worth and what you should be spending to get yourself into roster construction. But in reality, get into an auction. And the best way to learn is just to do it, just to do it. And Eric, you and I could both attest, like, no matter how good of a fantasy players we are or how many auctions we've done, there are still times I go into it and I will royally fuck it up. Like, my ego gets in the way. I try to price enforce. I try to do all this shit where I'm like, God damn it, what did I do? So we're on probably the most level playing field. Like, I am fully confident if I get in a snake draft with, I don't give a fuck who it was, it could be the 11 best dynasty players in the world, I'm going to hold my own at the end of the day, right? Like, I'm not going to get boat raced. I get in an auction with 11 random people. They could be terrible at fantasy, and the odds are probably still in their favor that they might come out of the auction with a much better team because the onus is all on me. Like, the onus is on me to fuck it up. So don't feel like you're going to get taken advantage of. We're all on a very equal playing field of potentially just fucking our rosters into oblivion, but that's what makes it so fun. That's what makes it kind of like playing Battleship, where it's just like, there's no real strategy to Battleship, all right? Battleship is like 99.9% luck when you play it. There's no real strategy at all to it, which was funny when you got me onto the Squid Games, the actual TV show where they did the games, and they played Battleship, and they're like devising. I'm like, what the fuck? Just put your shit wherever. It doesn't fucking matter.
Oh, yeah, they were, they had to like, God, there was so much strategy on that, but it was kind of cool, though.
Yeah, but there was so much useless strategy. I'm like, it's the game of Battleship, man. You're just guessing fucking numbers.
Yeah.
Once you hit, then you follow on. But auction's kind of the same thing. Auction is like the game of Battleship. Just guess a fucking number, get your dude, do what makes you happy. But you have just as much chance to have a super team as you do just to fuck it up. I mean, there's some little like pointers and stuff we can give you. But I say this, anybody who wants to do an auction, you're interested in, let us know, hit us up in the YouTube comments, hit us up on Twitter or whatever, and we'll make it happen. Whether you're in the Patreon or not, we'll put a league together, get it all set up, and get everybody squared away.
Yeah, absolutely. I can work on that for tomorrow, especially if you're in the Patreon or on the Discord too. I will post a link in the league's page about it.
It will be best ball though, so fuck y'all.
Yeah, best ball. We'll do it on MFL for a slow auction, so it, you know, everybody, you know, not everybody can be there for 3 hours to do a live auction.
Yeah, here.
That's kind of for like the fucking degenerates, like
super degenerates.
Yeah, but slow auction is nice, and I like your idea too. Like, we'll make, I want to do rookie auctions too. So I like that.
Really do.
Another thing I like too, Barry. In one of his leagues that he got me into, which was really cool, the rookie auction was live. So it was like an NFL draft, like 10 minutes or 15 minutes on the clock, and you were doing your, you know, your draft. So like, you could talk trades and stuff while you're picking, you know, while you're on the clock there. So kind of like a real NFL draft. So I thought that was really cool too for another idea.
Yeah, I think we could do it. Live would be tough again.
Yeah.
But maybe we could do it again on MFL with just the rookies in the player pool. You know, just bring it back, run it back, and do a slow proxy rookie draft with the auction budgets already set with what everybody has based on where they finished. Yep. And then you got plenty of time to trade some auction dollars or some real fucking players back and forth, right?
Right. Exactly. Like,
man, can you believe it, man? I'm in a possibility. I won the league, but I could get Caleb here if I just trade away this dude and I get a few more bucks. I might be able to win this auction. Like, that's the kind of crazy shit that just could happen.
Yeah, and I'd love to include Devi into it too. Like, I like, I mean, that might be a little too much for some people.
Yeah.
Even if you do,
keep it like simple, Koopa.
Yeah. If you do some small Devi with it, that's always fun too, man. I just joined, you know, in the Discord league, there was a Devi draft or Dune Devi league that was starting up. So I got into that. So I'm looking forward to that. There's just so many different options you could do with auction. And I think, you know, like I said, once you do that first auction, you're like, fuck, why wasn't I doing this sooner? Why wasn't I doing auction leagues all this time?
You'll love it. Trust me, you will love it.
Yeah, it's so much more fun, especially slow auctions, yeah, it's fun and all that, but doing like your first like live auction, that's really cool. I'll just share a quick story. So 2021, I believe it was, is when I went to Vegas with Scott Connor and his high stakes partner Jay Reed. We went to Vegas, obviously, for the FFPC main event drafts. I ended up doing two main event drafts there. Those guys did, I think, six or seven, whatever it is the max each. So they went and did that. I was partners with Scott on one and partners with Jay on one for the main events. But on the first day, the second day, they have live auction drafts as well. So this is my opportunity to do a live auction draft with 12 live people sitting there at the table around me, and doing live auction. So me and Scott, you know, Scott, how he is with Excel sheets and all that. He had it set up to where we could, you know, basically keep track of the prices of each team, how much money they had left. So like every time they spent money, we would have it, you know, he had the math formula to subtract it from their budget so we could see how much they had. We had it with set up to like where their rosters were at too. I mean, they have a draft board in front of you with the stickers and stuff and the price on it. So you can kind of see that, but to have it on our laptop there while we're really doing it, and we could really play the strategy that way. So doing an actual live auction with 12 other people around you, that was a lot of fun, man. We kind of went in with our strategy of some players that we wanted to target. We got some really good deals, and me and Scott actually ended up winning that league. So
nice.
That was the year Cordarrelle Patterson like came on as the Falcons like main running back that first year. Whatever it was, where he had that monster year, and our running backs ended up kind of sucking or getting injured. And Scott had to put in like a $400 fab bid on Cordarrelle Patterson because we were so desperate, and that fucker led us all the way to the championship, man. So shout out to Scott on that one, because I'm like, really, we're gonna spend $400 on fucking Cordarrelle Patterson, you know, who hadn't done fuck all in the league? And sure as shit, man, he rode us all the way to the championship on that one. So that was Justin Jefferson's second year where he fucking exploded. We had Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams for the last dance, their last year in Green Bay.
Nice stack together. Right there.
Yeah, so I wanted that stack because I was just believing in the this is the last dance. Like, him and Devontae are just going to go nuclear. So I kind of believed in that. We got Jefferson for a good deal. We weren't even really targeting Jefferson, but it was such a good deal. We got kind of not stuck with him, but we took him, and that's when he fucking exploded. So, yeah, man, if you ever get the chance to do a live auction in person,
yeah,
like in Vegas or any of these other places, I definitely recommend it because that takes it to a whole another level. So that's really cool.
See, and that's probably the thing. Like, if I had to rank it right now with my experience, like my home league in person draft, even though like I hate the league settings, it's half PPR and 10 team, and you know, like it's you can't predict anything because everybody just drafts wild shit, whatever the fuck they want. I can never win the fucking league, even though like I go in with all this strategy, but like Joe Blow, who did zero research, just lucks into all this shit. But doing an in person draft, like, that is my favorite thing to do. The shit talking, yeah. And like every time somebody makes a pick, you know, somebody's yelling reach, that kind of shit that goes back and forth. But then I take it, like, my second favorite experience is doing in a live auction. And when I've done live auctions, we usually get in Discord voice chat and we're just bullshitting back and forth, you know. Like, my memory is the first one we ever did with T-Rock. T-Rock comes in, who writes really good articles for us. Go check him out on our website. He comes into his first ever auction, and, you know, of course, he's kind of like Scott. He's got all these fucking spreadsheets, and he's got all these lists and shit. T-Rock starts drinking with us, and he's, like, drunk by the time, like, 30 minutes have gone past. And he blows his entire auction budget on, like, four fucking players. Like, all that work, all that preparation he did, and just all the bullshit back and forth. So, Eric, I'm if you could take that and put it in an in-person thing, like maybe at the expo. Maybe we get a live auction at the expo. like a dynasty league with some of the shitheads, that would be fucking absolutely incredible.
Yeah, that would almost have to be like recorded, like on live video.
Yeah, that needs content right there. That needs to be on the YouTube for sure.
Oh, that would be gold, absolute gold. Yeah, I agree. So yeah, man, auction's a lot of fun. I hope this episode helps a lot of our listeners get that feeling, man. Just jump into an auction league, man. You're not going to regret it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Don't be intimidated by it. Honestly, like, just kind of look at the Warp. Like, you know, especially if you're subscribed to the Warp tool. If you're not, what the hell are you doing? Go down to southharmonff.com, subscribe for the Warp tool. It's $6.90 a month. It's the best $6.90 you're going to spend all month long. And be better than any of those OnlyFans subscriptions you're paying for. So just go go and pay for the Warp tool, man. It's going to be worth it. You can check out any of that Warp for that sleeper league or whatever. And just kind of see, like, man, like, wide receivers are going to be king in this league, so I'm going to take advantage of the wide receivers. Especially if you're in a league with not a lot of, you know, subscribers of the Warp tool, you can really take advantage of it and kill it. So many ways to do it. Like I said, you have a chance at every single player you have. Like, you know, if you're a person that doesn't trade a whole lot and say you're a playoff team every year, you probably never had a chance at Caleb Williams or Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, any of these guys at the beginning of your drafts, unless you somehow had traded for a top pick during the year or something. So if you don't have any of those players in your portfolio, here you go. In an auction league, I can spend $200. Yeah, I can spend my $200 on Marvin Harrison Jr. if I want, and finally have a share of them. So at least I could say, hey, I got one of them, you know? So there's just so many different ways to go about auction, man. I love it. So hopefully this episode helps a lot of people with that.
I love that too, just talking about like team building, for example. But I'm a big believer in the 24 class, and I think it'd be fun to have at least one dynasty team where it's like almost all the 24 class.
Yeah, you
can do and that auction too. Auction's the way where you could possibly get that done, where I could bid on Caleb and Jaden and Marv and like all these guys. This is my team. I'm just going with the 24 class entirety.
Right? Yeah, it's definitely a possibility that you can do for sure. I agree. So.
I don't think anybody's bidding on the 22 classes.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no one's going to be bidding on Kenny Pickett and Malik Willis. Matt Corral is already out of the league and shit. Yeah,
he can't even win a job in the UFL full time. Like I tuned into one of their games and he's splitting reps with Adrian fucking Martinez or whoever the fuck it was.
Adrian Martinez, fuck off. Shout out to Scott Connor. Scott Connor is an Adrian Martinez truther.
Oh, no.
He loved him like 7 years ago when he came into college.
Well, it was easy for me. Did he go to Nebraska? Yes. All right. He's terrible.
Yeah, he's terrible. Yeah. All right. America's favorite game. You ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. We'll keep with the racing theme. So who's your favorite Formula One driver, I guess, because I'm guessing you don't probably watch IndyCar and NASCAR as much, or just your favorite driver in general. But I'll stick with F1 because that's probably what you're more familiar with.
Well, I mean, back in the day when I was living in the South, I used to watch a ton of NASCAR, right? That's like the thing down there. So Tony Stewart was my guy.
Tony Stewart, okay.
Tony Stewart for NASCAR was my guy, right? I had a Tony Stewart hat, you know, the 20, the orange, the... Yeah, I had the whole fucking thing, man. I love Tony Stewart. And he was like an asshole to people. It was great.
Yeah, he just took no bullshit from anybody.
I love Tony Stewart. Now, it's kind of nice because I watch F1 without like a whole lot of fandom.
Okay.
I will say this. I hate Mercedes with a fucking passion. I just hate the team. I think Lewis Hamilton's great. And I can't wait till he goes to Ferrari next year. But I just fucking hate Mercedes because when I started watching Drive to Survive, like my first F1 experience, Mercedes was the Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the Alabama, the New England Patriots of fucking F1, you know, like 7 straight championships or whatever. Like, yep. Fuck them. Yeah. Like, you want to see them lose. So I do have some affinity to like Red Bull because that was the team that was going to overtake them. But similar to Alabama, before Alabama, it was Florida in college football, and I fucking hated Florida. So I was rooting for Alabama, and then once Alabama started to win, I'm like, "What have I done? Oh shit!" it was the same thing in the NFL, right? Like the Rams kind of had that little like mini dynasty there. So you rooted for the Patriots in that first Super Bowl, and then what the fuck? I created a bigger monster for them, and then you really hate them. So I think Red Bull's kind of getting to that spot now, me and my fandom.
It's not even fun watching the races right now. Like,
it's gotten tough.
A little better this year, but like last year was fucking terrible.
It's tough. I'd say I was a big Haas fan, but then they let go of Gunther.
They let go of Gunther,
and like I got a Gunther fucking T-shirt I won off of T-Rock of all things. Thank you for that. Off of Kenny Pickett, man. Off the Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky bet we had. I won that T-shirt. It says like Top Gunther or whatever the fuck on it. He's wearing shades. So losing him sucks. So I don't really have too big of an affiliation. I will say I am like really warming up to McLaren, kind of being that. And they've been doing really well since the car change. Right after the little mini break that they had there. God, they're fucking killing it now. So the orange car looks really good. If I had to pick one, though, it would definitely be Piastri versus Lando Norris. It's something about, like, fucking Brits, man. I just, no offense if you're British. I just, listen, maybe I'm like an old school, once upon a time I fought the Revolutionary War or something, you know, like reincarnated. Something about Brits just pisses me off. I don't like them.
So I've been watching Formula One, IndyCar, NASCAR since, like, the fucking early 90s.
Yeah.
So I've been in this shit my whole life. So I started off as a kid as a Michael Schumacher fan. Obviously,
he's
the greatest driver ever.
I thought his kid was actually going to be fucking good.
Yeah, his kid was like...
But he also went to a terrible team. I mean, Haas was fucking dog shit. Okay, so maybe that ruined him.
Yeah. So I always liked him. And then, obviously, he retired and stuff. I kind of stopped watching there for a little bit, for like a couple years, and then I got back into it. And when I got back into it was Lewis Hamilton was on McLaren at the time with Jenson Button.
Yep.
And those guys were teammates. And that's when Lewis Hamilton kind of started his, like, got his first championship and stuff. And that's why I became a Lewis Hamilton fan, because I just thought he was an incredible driver. So I've kind of always been a Lewis Hamilton fan.
He's entertaining. I fucking hate him on Mercedes, man. I will have like Lewis Hamilton shit when he goes to Ferrari next year. I will, because I think he's very fucking awesome.
Yeah, and then like there's like you said with Gunther, you like Gunther, he's awesome. You know, there's also some other drivers that come around that you like Daniel Ricciardo is a hell of a personality, so you gotta like Daniel Ricciardo. He's really cool. I fucking love Yuki just because Yuki Tsunoda fucking bitches and cries.
I cannot stand Yuki.
I just think it's hilarious when he yells on the fucking radio.
Wait, like he gets so fucking angry, I just want to beat the shit out of him. Like, shut the fuck up.
Right. Like they're telling him, like, his lap time or how far somebody is behind him. He's like, shut up, I know what I'm doing, or something. He's just driving, and it's like...
Listen, for us Americans, right, like, you look at Formula One and you're like, eh, whatever. But it is the most popular in the entire world. Like, these guys are the ultimate rock star. It's like
soccer here, or soccer and over other places.
Exactly. So like, when Yuki's always bitching, I'm like, you make, like, millions and millions and millions, and, like, every woman out there wants you. Like, shut the fuck up, Yuki. Just fucking drive the car. You're on, like, a B team for a reason, because your attitude sucks.
Yep. So, guys like that, I mean, Lando, obviously Lando's really popular. He streams on Twitch and stuff, so that's cool to kind of watch him do that.
Oh, no shit. I didn't know Lando streamed. Does he, like, he's playing, like, the F1 game and shit?
No, I mean, he plays other driving games, but he hasn't, he streams, like, once in a very blue moon now. But, like, during the pandemic, like, a lot of these guys were streaming a shit ton. So, you know, Verstappen, I don't know if you know this, he had a sim brought to him at the last race at Imola into his car, and they were doing an iRacing was doing an event of a 24-hour race. And that fucker was up at midnight Imola time, still racing on the fucking sim in this thing.
Going to town.
The night before the race. This was on Saturday night.
And going what a machine. Sunday morning. What a fucking machine.
That's how you know how fucking good your car is, where you don't even give a shit. I can stay up till fucking midnight and fuck around.
He's got skills, though, too.
Yeah.
He's got skills. Well, yeah, okay. One of my favorite ones, the Nico Hulkenberg coming back.
Yeah, Hulkenberg.
Probably because I get to say his name all the time. Hulkenberg. I just love saying it. Didn't he drive an Indy there for a while after he got kicked off from F1? I thought he raced in an Indy series, or was it another Haas driver? Magnussen, maybe?
Magnussen had a couple races in IndyCar. It wasn't a lot. But yeah, there's been some Formula One drivers that have come over. So like Alexander Rossi, who won the Indy 500, the 100th Indy 500, I think it was 8 years ago now. He used to be an F1 driver. He was like on the, I forget what the hell they recall, but it was like Haas before Haas. It was always like a fucking backmarker team. I think it was Sauber. And so Alexander Rossi was in there. Takuma Sato used to be in Formula One as well. He's won two Indy 500s.
That was the guys I was thinking. Oh, Romain Grosjean.
Yeah, Romain Grosjean.
Yeah, he was a Haas driver. Yep.
Yeah, he's still in IndyCar right now. He's been in there for 3 years now.
Marcus Ericsson used to be.
Yeah, Marcus Ericsson was in
Formula One. Forgive me if you're the bigger racing fan, but wasn't he the one that won 2 years ago the Indy 500? I'm pretty sure that was the guy who won when I was there.
Yeah. He won the Indy 500 a couple years ago. Like I said, Sato's won two Indy 500s. So one of the more popular drivers that came over, this is probably, God, this might even been 8-10 years ago, kind of like around the time Rossi was there, was Rubens Barrichello. Was a very popular Formula One driver, Brazilian driver. He came over and ran a year or two in IndyCar as well. Obviously, Jimmy Johnson, that's from NASCAR. He went over to IndyCar for 2 years and was terrible just because it's a whole new thing for him. And
completely
the only thing about IndyCar is, like, with NASCARs and Formula One, they have power steering. IndyCars don't have power steering at all. So those guys are fucking having to muscle those cars around.
I didn't know that. I didn't know they didn't have power steering.
Yeah.
It's the one thing I did learn about, like, Formula One and, like, why they can't run ovals is they're not built right. Like, when IndyCar run ovals, they're offset, right? Like, tires are higher than the other because they're always fucking balanced or whatever.
Yeah.
If you ran a Formula One car at, like, an Indy 500 track, that motherfucker would fly off into the abyss.
Right,
It could become a spaceship.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to see it, but, like, you know, a lot of these drivers that come over from Formula One and stuff, like, they don't want to do any of the ovals or anything, so it's kind of tough. A couple years ago, Fernando Alonso did his first Indy 500 too. He's done two of them, and he actually did pretty damn good in it. So, like, I would love to see I'd love to see just more crossover between Formula One and NASCAR guys. Like, obviously, Kyle Larson's doing the Indy 500 this year. He's going to do the double, so he's going to race the Indy 500, then literally get out of the car and fly to Charlotte to go race in the NASCAR race and try and do 1,100 miles in one day.
That's crazy.
Yeah, Tony Stewart's done that a couple of times, so Kyle Larson's the next one to do it. I wish there was more. Like, it hasn't been done in a long time. I think, like, 93 or 94 was the last time it was done. But I want to see more IndyCar drivers or Formula One drivers get in the Daytona 500, too. Like,
yeah, I think for me, like, what gravitated me towards Formula One and really like it, one, the Netflix show, like, launched that fucker into the stratosphere for Americans, right? For the rest of the world, they were already on board. But for Americans, it launched that shit into the strategy. It was the best way for me to describe it. It's kind of like watching Hard Knocks, but for a Formula One race, right? Yeah. Like, that kind of same kind of feel. And that's what gravitated me towards that. I say this, the one thing I really love about Formula One racing versus let's say, like, IndyCar racing or especially NASCAR racing, is there's no competitive balance, right? If you're a rich fucking team and you can upgrade your car in any way, shape, or form through R&D, development, better engine, you know, better aerodynamics or whatever, Formula One's like, go for it, right? Now, they did put some caps in place to kind of, like, They put some caps in place to kind of, like, equal the field up a little bit. But, like, NASCAR, the specs on the fucking car are exactly the same from, you know, a really high popular, successful team down to the dog shit who just made the race in qualifying, right? The car specs are the exact same. In Formula One, each car is different. Each car is different. And there was some, a couple years ago, there was some big controversy around, like, they kind of got, like, junior teams where they're developing drivers and they throw some money at. But essentially, like, one team basically copied the exact fucking car design that another team had. It was Mercedes and, what the fuck are they now? About. It's Aston Martin now, but whatever the fuck it was before, the Indian company that used to own
it. It was Team Force India.
Yeah, it was they called it the Pink Mercedes or whatever, but it was like a one for one, and that was, what the fuck are you doing? You got to design your own original car. Like, you got to come into the season. So I think that's something that I do like, where it's like, all right, not everything in this world is fair. Mercedes has got a fuck ton of money. Red Bull's got a fuck ton of money. You know, McLaren's got a fuck ton of money. Haas, not so much. You're going to suck.
Pretty much. Real quick before we end, though, also on Netflix is right now it's last year's version, but 100 Days to Indy is basically the same thing as Drive to Survive.
No,
that's
shit.
On Netflix right now, but that's last year's version. The current version is still going on, but it's on the CW network, or if you download the CW app, you can watch it on there too. I think it's every Friday it comes out.
I have to give that a check out, man. Like, I really love Drive to Survive. Got me into it, this whole racing scene.
Yeah, it's more like that. And then before the Daytona 500 this year, NASCAR put out theirs, which was called Full Speed, I think it was.
I saw that one.
And that was all about last year's playoffs for NASCAR. That was really good too. So I'm all in on any of those racing documentary series. Full Swing too for golf. Like, I'm a
I hate golf, but I watch Full Swing.
Yeah, I'm a casual golf fan. Like, I watch, like, the majors and stuff. I'm not going to watch the random TPC Sawgrass Open or whatever the fuck. but I'm, you know, I'll watch the majors and stuff. And I know who most of, like, the top golfers are. But watching the Full Swing got me, you know, more into it again. And caring, like, oh, I know who this guy is. I know who this guy is. Like,
listen, full Swing, man. The one thing that my biggest takeaway is, I should have been a golfer, man. Everybody out there pulling fucking tens left and right. Like, tens left. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And, like, it's not like, yeah, I should have definitely been in the golf, too. I'm with you on that one. I can putt-putt. I can't fucking.
I could have been John Daly.
Yeah. Get fucking Hooters sponsorships and everything. Fucking great. Fucking Mike with his OnlyFans hat on as he's fucking swinging. I can see it.
Got it. I'm a terrible golfer, but I'm with you. Like, the documentaries on some of these sports where I don't really give a fuck about. Mm-hmm. Like Formula One got me into Formula One racing. Yeah. Full Swing was very, very good. I loved watching that one. Still not going to get me into golf. Like, watching golf on TV is boring as fuck. It's kind of like, I like baseball, Eric, too, but I can't watch a baseball game on TV. I just can't. I gotta be in person, or it's fucking terrible. It's horrendous.
Yep. You know, obviously, Hard Knocks is big for documentaries. There was the one series on Amazon. I forget what the hell it was called. It was the in-season one too. Like, cause I know the Eagles were on there once.
Yeah, they had
Cardinals,
the
Cowboys.
They followed Michigan around. For a year or two.
Yep. There's also, I don't know if you ever seen it, they did followed McLaren before Drive to Survive on that one a long time ago. This is like when Fernando Alonso.
Oh.
And
I have to go back in time and watch that one.
And Stoffel Vanderhorn, or whatever the fuck his name was the other driver. So that one was from, like, that has to be over 10 years ago now, because that was when Alonso was.
You got Coach Prime on there for documentaries too, if you want to watch that one. The first season was him at Jackson State. Second season was last year at Colorado.
Yeah, so I'm all in on any of those sports documentary series.
For sure. Nobody ever talks about the in-season Hard Knocks one, too. Like, that always gets pushed by the wayside, but I do enjoy watching them.
I enjoy watching it. Like, I didn't watch the Dolphins one at all last year just because I'm so busy during the fucking week. I don't have
It's tough during the football season. It really is. But go back and watch it now, and you'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember that. Man, the Dolphins did get their ass beat when we didn't think they were going to get there. Sweet, or oh, I remember that fat guy scoring that touchdown. I forget who the defensive tackle was who, like, picked off the pass or whatever and, like, fell into the end zone. That guy, you're like, I remember that one. It's tough to watch in season, though. I'm with you. Like, I'm setting fucking lineups and doing like 80 million shows a week. So it's
waiver wire.
Yeah, and then watching, you know, every goddamn NFL game imaginable. Yeah, in college football. Yeah. Sorry, Hard Knocks in season. Like, it's a good show, and I like to watch it. It just doesn't happen in the season.
How excited are you for the fucking Giants Hard Knocks?
No, well, it's still Hard Knocks. Yeah. Like, I'm still gonna watch it. One, I think like they have the perfect announcer in Liev Schreiber.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like his voice is so good.
Perfect. Yeah.
So he's a fantastic actor too, but his voice is just like it is Hard Knocks. They ever change it or he moves on or they get, fuck you. He did a terrible job. Keep him at all costs. It's kind of like Scott Hansen hosting Red Zone. Yeah. Like, don't fucking change. Okay. This is the money, but it'll be fine. I just wish it was a better team. Like free Pepsis for everybody.
There you go. Like Neighbors is like the only one I give a shit about.
Interested to see like some of the defensive players, but like, yeah, offense, it's Malik Neighbors and
that's it.
Tyrone Tracy.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe they'll talk about him on there.
Please, God, make it Tyrone Chase. I don't give a fuck about Devin Singletary.
Yeah, me either. So, all right, well, that is it for this week. So we had a long America's Favorite game there, but oh well. It's always good talking with you.
It's fucking your show. You can do whatever you want.
There you go. So, but yeah, for that this week, guys, appreciate you guys tapping in. Hopefully you guys join some more auction leagues, but yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Eric Vanek NFL. Follow Mike at Iowa Michael. Anything else you got for us, Mike, before we wrap it up?
No, we just got some incredible stuff. Listen, I can't stress enough the podcast form of everything that we're doing. Okay, so
yeah.
America's Game is going to be moving to podcast only. 40 Chess, Adam and I show will be podcast only. Really trying to push that, man. Go check out the podcast because we've had some great stuff on there forever. Whenever the fuck I get back into doing my interviews with all the good content creators out in space. So that'll be on the South Harmon Spotlight. Cooper Show every Saturday. You got team previews on there right now.
Yep.
Going through every single team, you and Koopa, like fucking animals, top to bottom, going through all of them. The podcast feed, go follow South Harmon, what is it, South Harmon Dynasty Football? Whatever. Just type in fucking South Harmon. How many other podcasts out there called South Harmon?
Yeah, South Harmon.
Follow Dynasty it. Football, I believe. And then do us a favor. Give us a rate, a review, a like. Like, if you like our stuff, help us out. Help us out. Tell everybody else about it. Like, absolutely. So when people casually come by, maybe they stick. So the podcast feed, big thing. And then look out for everything that we're doing on the old YouTube side, right? Fizzle's got his live stream on Friday nights. Absolutely fucking hilarious. Just me and him chopping it up. He'll have some other people on. Eric, I'm sure he's going to get you on one of these Friday nights. You and him get fucking drunk and talk about your favorite rappers. Or I never know what to expect going into the show, and then it goes off in a wild tangent into different. But that's the beauty of the show. That's why I love it. Trade show on Saturdays, and then Adam and I are going to be coming out with individual videos here starting Memorial Day.
Nice.
New video editor, Brian. We'll see what he's got. I got a lot of faith in Brian, though. Brian does some fucking incredible work, so he's going to make me look beautiful and smart.
Absolutely.
Which is a big task.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Well, appreciate everybody tapping in for this week. Hopefully join some more auction leagues. If you want to join in a league with me and Mike, America's Game Listener League, our very first one. We're going to do an auction league. I'll set that up tomorrow. Just post in the comments, tweet at me, or DM me on Twitter. If you're in the Discord,
me too.
Message
me
on Discord. Yep, might hit Mike up too. We'll get it set up for you guys, so that'll be fun. So until next week, we will see you guys. Have a good holiday weekend.
Peace.